Well, good morning, everybody. It's always a scary moment, and I don't know if you're going to say it back, so thank you for saying it back. And the students never do on Sunday nights, ever. So, anyways, good morning, y'all. If we haven't met, my name is Joey Manzi. I am the Next Gen director here. Been here for about 5 weeks, and Next Gen is basically a fancy title for youth pastor plus some other things. And so I get to help kids ministry move into middle school ministry, and then run middle and high school with Sydney and the advisor team. And then I get to learn from Kaz on how to make church happen and preach a little bit and have a good time. And so quick shout out, if you're sitting here and you know or are a middle or high school student, or you're about to be and you want to know how to get involved, every morning we've got kids ministry. Hello, are we on? Yeah, connect groups at 10 a.m. And then on Sunday nights, we have Huddle, which is our big hangout party every week for middle and high school students. And starts at 5, we serve dinner, and it's a great time. So again, if you know anybody, if you are that age, just show up. Just come on in. And if you're not, and you just want to come hang out, just come hang out. See what we do. We have a great time. I started here at Advent about 5 weeks ago, and we are hitting the ground running. Let me tell you, some new things have already been rolled out. In the student ministry, and boy, am I getting good at spending money. That's something I really am good at. Thank you, Elder Team, for approving my budget. Anyways, today we're kicking off a brand new series called Noise Canceling. Over for the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear from me and from Kaz and Diana about all things hearing from God. Hearing from God via miracles like the burning bush and thunderous words of God. We're going to hear more about hearing from God via our community and our friends. Also about from God in prayer, and then hearing from God through scripture. And today, we're going to dig through hearing from God through prayer, but not just any regular quick prayer, although those are good and valuable. I'm not talking about a quick prayer, thank you God for this food, rub-a-dub-dub, thank you for this grub type of prayer. What I mean is hearing from God in what's called the secret place. But we'll get there. So will you guys pray with me? Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would speak through me. And it's in your name. Amen. The world that we live in is very busy. And I know, I hear the little jabs and the chitter chatter. For those of you that know, I came from California. I know, I'm that new guy from California. Better yet, or maybe worse, I'm that new guy from the Bay Area. Many people have said to me, you're in for a real culture shock. Or better yet, get ready. That humidity isn't what you think it is. You think you can handle it. Or even, buckle up, Tennessee's going to eat you alive. Okay, I made up that last one. But the only thing eating is me, because people keep taking me to dinner and cooking food for me, and every time I walk into my office, there's a loaf of bread or a batch of cookies. Mrs. Ennis, thank you so much for those cookies. If y'all have eaten her cookies, please don't ever stop. I digress. The reality is, yes, there are some obvious differences between where I come from in California and where we are in Memphis, Tennessee. But something that I have noticed is that we all live very busy lifestyles. We have very busy minds. And I think when we watch that bumper and you hear all of the things, I hadn't seen that bumper yet before, even though I've been preparing for a series called Noise Canceling. And I'm walking up and I hear a phone ding. And I don't know if you guys saw me, but I literally went when I heard it, because before I came up here, I muted my laptop and I silenced my phone. And I thought, oh, shoot, this is bad. I'm messing up already. And then I realize this is the busyness that I live with. And I think if we're honest, you guys can relate. We live in a world full of constant input, constantly, from Instagram reels, Facebook videos, TikTok, because I know all of you are on TikTok, the comment threads, the Facebook keyboard warriors, Netflix and the other streaming platforms, CNN and Fox and Twitter all day long, and all the other things that make our phones buzz. And coincidentally, somebody's phone just buzzed in their pocket right now. Actually, mine literally just did. And we are inundated with content and media everywhere that we look. I mean, for example, smartphones, we have smart TVs, and we have smart cars. Everything that we do and everything that we use has technology.
Thanks, Shots. Speaking of technology, everything that we're a part of, smartphones, smart TVs, smart cars, the human brain wasn't designed to hold and harness all of this information. And in 2024, it's on a whole new level. Not to mention it's an election year, just to make things even greater. But here's the problem. With so much noise going on, we have no room to hear the most important voice. And my personal belief is not that if I can't hear God, then he must not be speaking. That's not my personal belief. I believe that if I can't hear God, it's because I'm not listening. I'm either being selfish with my time, or I'm not being intentional about my time with him. Maybe I filled my life with too many things, too many voices, too many TV shows, too many sports, too many distractions that have filled up the confines of my brain. So much so that I have no room for anything else. And it's in these moments that I realize that all I have to do is make room. And I know that sounds easy, because I can't just stop working. I can't stop talking to my friends, my relationships. And I'm certainly not saying don't keep up with sports or watch TV or all of those things in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that when it becomes a problem, something's got to give, because we can't just live our lives go, 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 go forever and ever. We can't just live our lives with our brains full of things that at the end of the day don't really matter. It's no wonder why anxiety and depression and confusion are at an all-time high out of any time period at any point in the history of our recorded, data-driven world. And the saddest part about that truth is that it's getting younger and younger. It's affecting our next generations of students and kids, and this is why I exist here at this church. So what we need to do is we need to make room. The people that I'm talking to in this room, with the exception of these two littles right here, the next generation is, and these three over there, the next generation is relying on us to teach them how to do this. Because this is passed down to your kids and their kids and everybody that they know. Making room, or preparing room, isn't just an Easter thing. It's not just a Christmas thing. It's a daily thing. And it's a daily battle that we fight against everything else in the world that's vying for our attention. And so this is why I mentioned the secret place earlier. So let's turn to Luke chapter 6. There's a story in the Bible. Good place to start. It's one of many stories where we hear the word Pharisees. Now, if you don't know who the Pharisees were, the Pharisees was this group of people, like a politically driven people. They were trying to catch Jesus in doing something against the law. But when I say against the law, what I don't mean is like criminal law. What I don't mean is they were trying to catch him like murdering somebody. They weren't trying to catch him running into a store and stealing. They weren't trying to catch him speeding on Germantown Parkway, even though we all do it. The Pharisees weren't trying to catch Jesus doing something like that. They were trying to catch him in the law, meaning like the hundreds of laws going on at the time, and if you tried to keep them all, you'd end up contradicting some at the same time. And the Pharisees were the ultimate rule followers. And ultimately, they didn't love Jesus the way that they should have. And so when Jesus would come across this group of people called the Pharisees, he would often call them out as often as he could to basically say, if I could sum it all up and how he was calling them out, he would basically say, hey, the law won't save you. I will. Relax. The law won't save you. I will. The law back then, in this instance, the law back then said, no work is ever to be done on the Sabbath, also known as a day of rest, a day of peace, a day of not working, no straining, no striving, no hustling. all the things that personally I love to do. I am wired to hustle. I'm wired to do. And when I do those things, it makes me feel good about my space in this world. But the law says that there's no work ever to be done on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees were trying to catch him. They were trying to trap him in that. And so Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11 says this. It is titled, "The Lord of the Sabbath," which I think is very ironic that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, yet, well, we'll get there. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, 'Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?'" Now, let's stop here for a second. Do you think Jesus was unaware of this? I always think it's funny when people ask Jesus questions because I sit there and I picture it, and I'm like, you're not asking me new information. In fact, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I just think people ask him dumb questions sometimes, but that's the humor of the Bible. "Jesus answered them." Here's another sassy moment. He says, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Jesus then said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus was speaking in third person here. "On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath." Again, trying to trap him. "But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled or deformed hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everybody.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." I will never understand people who operate like this. But it perfectly paints the picture of why Jesus calls out the Pharisees and says, "Hey, the law will not save you. This is a good thing that I have an opportunity to do." So we have two instances of the many where Jesus is doing something beneficial to those around him, but all the Pharisees care about is trying to trap him. And no one in their right mind or with their priorities straight should bat an eye at feeding people or healing a man of their deformed or shriveled hand, no matter the day. But they do anyway. Now, the reason I bring up this story in Luke chapter 6 about Jesus working on the Sabbath is because of the very last verse. "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." Imagine if this took place yesterday. In 2024, imagine if this kind of thing happened in today's day and age. Imagine the news reports. Imagine all the dings on your phone. Did you see what Kanye West, did you see what Elon Musk, did you see what Joe Biden, did you see, did you hear? The people standing around in that moment with Jesus healing this man with their phones out, live streaming on whatever social media, yelling and shaming or sending all these videos and texts and posts to people. Can you imagine the attention it would get in today's day and age? Now this, what happened here, was not an isolated event. This happened a lot. This was often the same type of encounter Jesus would have with the Pharisees. They'd try to trap him. And this is what we deal with today. Inundated with opinions. Inundated with everybody's opinions and thoughts. No room to hear the truth. If you're anything like me, you care a lot about what people think about you. Even though it's awesome to say, "I don't care what people think about me," I'd be lying. I care a lot what people think about me. And I'm not excusing that behavior, which then leads to allowing my brain to be filled with all of these things. And then finally, I'm driven to my breaking point of being on my knees and say, Lord, I need you. I need help. I have so much anxiety, depression, and confusion. And even though he comes down and he says, my child, my son, I'm here for you. I also see a corrective father who says, but hey, I told you how to do this. I told you how to avoid this. Don't worry, I went through it. Let's do this together. Well, what happens next? The best part. You guys know how Jesus was fully God and fully man, right? If you didn't know that, now you do. He was fully God and he was fully man. And that is something that grammatically doesn't make sense, because if you're fully something, it's fully one thing, but he was fully two things. And also, a deity being a human just is so hard to comprehend. The very next verse, Jesus does this. One of those days, because remember that story was talking about two different stories. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Now, who was God to Jesus? He was his father. I looked up the word mountainside. And it's not just any random mountain, like we're going to Eagle Rock in the Smoky Mountains. This word specifically in the original Greek describes the mountains in what is modern-day Palestine. And in this area, they are very hilly. Lots of hills everywhere, something we're not used to here. But so much so that when Jesus went up to this mountainside in Palestine, to the naked eye, to anybody else watching, where he went looked like an enclosed space. The way the mountain was put together was almost like being where he was a secret place. That wasn't impossible to get there. Anybody could go up there. In fact, we're going to learn that Jesus calls his disciples, just a verse later, calls them from the bottom to come up to him. Then he declares that they're the disciples, and then they all go down together. So it's not a secret like you need a treasure map to get there. But looking at the area, specifically where he went to, once he was there, you couldn't see him anymore. It was an enclosed space. Now, I don't think it's a surprise or a coincidence that when Jesus went to get away from the noise to find peace and direction directly after the Pharisees tried to trap him in two different instances, I don't think it's a surprise that he went to a place where no one could see him. Again, it's not that no one could find it, because he called the disciples to come up to him, and then they went down together. And the disciples were not fully God. They were fully teenagers, most of them. They were fully Peter pulling out his sword and chopping ears off. They were fully making bad decisions. So they didn't have this deity hidden map of, I know exactly where to go and when to do it, and I'm everywhere always, like Jesus was. But it was secret in that it was an enclosed space away from the noise. It was a place to intentionally go. Just one chapter before this in Luke chapter 5, right before, it's a linear timeline, chronological. Jesus, right before this, he heals a man of leprosy. And right after he does it, he tells that man, don't tell anybody what I just did. Don't go to the rooftops, to the mountaintops, and scream all the good things that I just did. Don't bring any attention to it. What do you think happened? A whole bunch of news spread. It got a whole bunch of attention. So much so that crowds and crowds and crowds of people showed up because they wanted the attention. They wanted to touch the end of his cloak. They wanted the healing. Luke chapter 5, 16, right after this, what did Jesus do? He withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. So we see this theme. This is just two or three instances. This is a theme that happens a lot where Jesus escapes to go and pray to his Father. Now, even Jesus himself, the one who was fully God and fully man, something that is really hard to comprehend, even he needed time to withdraw, get away from everything around him. the hustle and the bustle of everybody relying on him, giving their opinions, pulling out their phones figuratively, and even quite literally trying to kill him. Even he needed time to get away and to recharge and hear from his Father in heaven. Now, I want you to know it's not just some fleeting thing. It's not just something that sounds good to hear, that you should get away to the secret place and pray. I think we can all agree that that sounds like a good thing. It's probably beneficial. But I want you to understand that I'm not up here trying to tickle your ears. I'm not trying to give you a soundbite that you can hold on to for the next couple hours or write something down and talk about it around the dinner table and then forget about it. I want you to understand that even the Son of Man, the Savior, Prince of Peace, and Messiah, the resurrected one true King, that we are here right now because of what he did last week. Otherwise, if what he didn't do last week, if that never happened, everything that we do here is meaningless. So because you're here, you believe it. And I want you to get that the one true King Jesus, even he dealt with what you and I deal with. Even he needed to get away and pray to a lonely place, to the secret place. Matthew chapter 14 writes that he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Mark 1 writes that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went to a solitary place where he prayed. I think you got it by now. So what do we do with this now? We're all going to get up and go find... I'm just kidding. We're not going to go get up and find a solitary place and pray. But I really do encourage you to do that today. Today. Not on Wednesday when you have free time. Today. Now, I'm not asking you to stop praying for your food or praying in your car or praying as a family before bed or all that. Those are very valuable moments. But when time gets really tough or you feel overwhelmed or with the fear or the opinions of people or the anxiety, confusion, worries of the world, or even when you just feel like you haven't heard from God in a while, the best advice for me is do what Jesus did, because he was fully man, and I'm fully man. So go to a solitary place. Do it in secret. Go where other people are not. If it works for you, go first thing in the morning while it's still dark. If you work an overnight shift, do it on your lunch break at 1 in the morning at the hospital. Do it in a secret place, and don't tell everyone where you're about to go and what you're about to do. Just go and get to that solitary, lonely, secret place. My last verse for you, I don't have it as a slide, but Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says this. This is Jesus teaching on prayer. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in heaven, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So get away from the noise. Pause everything around you. It will be okay. But it will only be okay if you get yourself into that space, the secret place. I'm not making up something fancy. Jesus did it a whole bunch of times. Make your requests made known to him, and he will bring you peace. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the work that you do in our lives every day. Lord, thank you so much for waking us up this morning and filling our lungs with breath. Lord, I ask that whatever is going on in our lives, whatever noise is around us, Lord, I pray that you would instill in us, give us the boldness and the courage to do the hard things, that even in the hustle and the bustle and even in the craziness and the mess around us, Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength in the moment to go find you, to pause our involvement with everything going on around us and say, you know what, when I come back, that noise is going to be there. But for right now, Lord, I'm in the secret place with you. I'm up on a mountain. I'm in my room. I'm up at 4:30 in the morning on a morning walk. And Lord, it's just you and me. pray you would give us the strength to move in that way. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.